Morning. If you have your Bibles, we're in John, the fourth chapter. We're going to start in verse 46. It is also on the screen this morning. We have a little bit of a lengthy reading, so bear with me. John, the fourth chapter, verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and went his way. Okay, verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus had said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let us look to the Lord for prayer. My Father, as we come before you, Lord, we thank you for this day, and Lord, for the opportunity to gather together in this place, and Lord, so thankful for each and every one that's here, and Lord, for their presence. It's so encouraging, Lord, to know that there are others that love you and want to serve you, and want to hear your word, Lord, and want to be obedient to you. Lord, just ask that as your word goes forth, Lord, if there are any that are here that do not know Jesus as their personal Savior, Lord, that they'll accept you, Lord, this very day. Heavenly Father, just ask that we that know you as our Savior, Lord, that we will truly be on fire and be willing to share others with others about you and about your word. Father, just ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus went from Judah into Samaria into Galilee, and this morning we're going to talk about Jesus who was at Canaan, and that's where he did his first miracle. And there's a man who's at Capernaum. This is a picture of the ruins of the city of Capernaum. This is the temple that Jesus would have been in. The ruins of that is the foundation of this. This is probably a second century temple, but that is where the city of Capernaum was. This morning, what I want to talk about is people need the Lord. I hope everyone here this morning knows that people need the Lord, but sometimes it's easy to think, well, you need the Lord, and I wish so and so would have heard that sermon or saw that or this or that, because they need that. Well, you know, you need it too. We need the Lord. People need the Lord, and we're going to try to bring that home this morning and talk about the importance of that this morning in the second miracle that Jesus did. This again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was when he had come out of Cana into Galilee. It's kind of interesting. The Gospels, there are four Gospels, right? And the Gospels record over 40 miracles. Actually, if you count them, what I believe is probably the most accurate number is probably 41. There's a couple of parables that kind of sound alike, and it's hard to... So there's over 40 different miracles that are recorded in the Gospels. And it's kind of interesting. Matthew records 21.
Mark records 19, and Luke records 22. Now remember that these, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, some record individual miracles that the other one doesn't record, but many of them, they are confirming, they're recording the same miracle, right? Does that make sense? But John records how many? Seven. Isn't that interesting? A third less. And John, he says, I'm going to just do seven. Now, it's kind of interesting. Whenever he tells you about a miracle, he says, oh, by the way, this is kind of important. This is the second miracle that I'm showing you. This isn't necessarily the second miracle Jesus did. He's not saying it's the second miracle he did. This is the second one I'm telling you about. This is the second one he did in Cana. Okay? And so John says, I'm not going to tell you a lot of miracles. But that I tell you, I want you to pay attention to, because it is important to your belief. If you're not sure about that, I want you to... I've used this verse, and I'm going to use it a lot, and you're going to get tired of it, but it's an important verse, or verses, right? And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Somebody turn and read chapter 21 in John, the last two verses. Somebody just read those real quick for me. Somebody got them? Nobody wants to read them, or are you not there yet? 21. Chapter 21, the last two verses.
This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
So John says, you know, Jesus did lots of stuff. And he said, you know, we can write about Christ, and we can write about what he did, and we can write about God. And if it be so, I don't even think all the books in the world. You know, for 2,000 years, people have been writing about Jesus Christ, about God, and people still aren't done. And even today, once in a while, somebody will come across something, a thought of somebody, and like, that's new to me. Somebody else may have written it somewhere or thought of it. Not that it's new. There's nothing new about the Word of God. Okay? I want you to get that. Nothing new about the Word of God. Matter of fact, I'm going to use that to talk about what I'm talking about tonight. Have you heard about the piece of parchment that claims that Jesus has a wife? Have you heard about that? Okay. I'm going to talk about that tonight. So if you're interested in that, you don't have to leave now and just come tonight if you're not interested in this. You stay for this too. But we're going to talk about that tonight, because it's made kind of a big sensation. And I know some people have been asked, so what does this mean? What does this mean? Have you been asked? Or maybe you're the one asking, what does it mean? Well, we'll try to talk about that tonight. But the verse that Brother Jim read, many other things... You know, the other three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, said, okay, around 20, we're going to give you a whole bunch of different things that Jesus did. And John says, I could write so much. I could write all my life. But he says here in verse 31, these are written. I've written these seven for a reason. I have a purpose. I have a goal. What I want to accomplish is that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I don't want you to miss this, because this is a big deal. That we don't want to just believe that there is a God. We want to believe that the God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He is our Savior, that He is the Messiah, the Christ. That's what, whenever you see Christ, that's what it means, the Messiah, the one that God prophesied in the Old Testament would come and die and take away our sins. That's why He says, I've written these so that you might believe that Jesus came to die for your sins. I love that second to last song we sung. What powerful words, simple words it talks about there in that song. But these are written, I've written these, and that believing, he says, I've written that you will believe that Jesus is in the Christ, and here is the purpose, what you get out of believing, and that believing you might have life. What kind of life? Eternal life. That's what John was worried about. Eternal life. And so it's important here that we note this, that why John wrote, and he says, okay, after the end of the story, miracle number two. And this is what I wanted to accomplish. It's kind of interesting, in Galatians, the fourth chapter, I don't have them on the board, Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made under the law. Verse 5, Galatians 4, verse 5. I'm going to read that in just a second. Why did Jesus come? Why, you know, Matthew speaks of miracles. Mark speaks of miracles. Luke speaks of miracles. John records 7. Did Jesus come to do miracles? I sometimes we lose our focus as to what is important. And we lose what the Bible tells us is important. Miracles weren't the purpose of Jesus coming. They were a means to an end. These things, He did many other things, but these are written. These miracles were done. These things are recorded so that you could be impressed with God. No, so that you could believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And that in believing you'll have life. The miracle isn't the end result. The end result is you having a relationship with God. Does that make sense? Really, really important. So Galatians 4 verse 5 tells us that when God's plan was ready to be fulfilled, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. She is a virgin, right? We do believe in the virgin birth, right? So, kind of a miracle, wasn't it? Not something that happens every day, right? Okay? So, God did this to accomplish what? Look at verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. So we can become a child of God. Some of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19. And if you read those verses, I just want to tell you two statements that are made in those verses. Verse 18 says this, that God has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. The purpose of Jesus coming was to make right that which was wronged by our sins. Romans 5:8 says we're the very enemies of God. And so Jesus, or God by Jesus, made right that which was made wrong by us, which we broke. And He has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus. And if you notice, it says Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Son of God. This Messiah thing, this Christ thing, the Son of God thing is kind of important. For only Jesus can redeem us. Only Jesus can give us life. And then, so it says in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5:18, he has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, verse 19. And he is reconciling the world unto himself. Not only does God want you to be saved, God wants the world. That is that all-inclusive all, for God so loved the world, that whosoever, that anyone can be saved and reconciled if they will, what? Believe. And that in believing, what do you get? Life through his name. So what is the importance of this second miracle? I think the importance of this miracle, what I get out of it, is that people need the Lord. I'm going to explain that as we go on. Then when Jesus, Jesus, was come into Galilee, the Galatians received him, having seen all the things that he had done at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. The feast was, there's seven feasts, three times a year. The Jews, especially the males, were to go to Jerusalem. And Jesus was at the feast. They were also there. Now they've all come back home. They saw him there. So Jesus came again into Cana. Again, he was there. Remember, he did water into wine. And remember that miracle? It really didn't feel like that's the first miracle that was planned. But because of these people and their hurting, Jesus cares when you hurt. That's the thing I like about that miracle. And so he changed his plan to take care of people. That's what Jesus is all about. And so he's back there at Canaan, where he had made water into wine, and there was a nobleman who was also a Canaan, whose son was sick at Capernaum. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this geography. Jesus had been in Jerusalem, and they at the feast, and they had to come, all of the males especially, but many of the women also come. It's a big deal. And so they had seen what Jesus had done there. Then Jesus going into Galilee, he says, I got to go to Galilee. Remember what he said to his disciples? He said, but I must needs go through Samaria. So where? So this morning we're talking about John, the fourth chapter, the end of it. What's at the beginning of the fourth chapter? The woman at the well, right? And we talked about that last week. And how that Jesus, in giving her living water, she went into the city and led many to the Lord, and then many others came to see Jesus and believed his word. And there was a huge revival and people being saved there in Samaria. And they asked Jesus to stay two more days, and he did. And then he goes on from Samaria, which was this city here. He goes on up into Galilee, into Cana. Now, he's going to do a lot of preaching. Nazareth is where he grew up. But he's going into Capernaum, and he's going to spend a lot of ministry. About half of his ministry will be done up in that area and in and around Capernaum. Now, this from where Jesus was back at Cana to Capernaum is about 20 miles. Now, one of the things that's fascinating is that you don't see it on this map, and you don't really see it by just reading, but when you're there, you understand that this is a very hilly region, very kind of treacherous going. And so some of these places, this is only 20 miles, but it takes a day and a half, 2 days, sometimes 3 days to travel, because it's not straight, and it's up over hills and around, and this isn't just a valley here. This is up in the mountainous area, and so this isn't an easy place to get to from one to the other. So that gives you an idea of what we're talking about in the geography that John gives us. Verse 47, when he heard, the nobleman heard, that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and he besought him that he would come down. And coming down has to do with Cana is kind of up in a mountainous area, and Capernaum is down at the sea level of the Sea of Galilee. And so we're talking elevation, what we're talking about. And he saw him that he'd come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So here's a father. It calls him a nobleman, and probably of the Herod family, or of the family of Herod, is what most believe this is talking about. So not only is he an important man, he's a nobleman. He somehow has royal blood. And at the time, this is probably of some kind of a descendant of Herod. John 4, verse 48, it goes on and it says, Jesus said unto him. Who did he say it to? The nobleman, right? So this man comes down and he says, my son is sick. And Jesus looks at the guy and he says, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Isn't that an interesting phrase that Jesus says? Now here's the thing, Jesus knows the heart. What does the man want? He wants him to have a miracle. But really, what he wants is Jesus to take care of the need of the moment. That's what he wants. He doesn't necessarily want Jesus in his life. He just needs God to take care of what he can't take care of right now, and then he'll go and take care of the rest. You ever been there? Know people like that? The relationship we want with God isn't a personal relationship. The relationship we want with God is to take care of whatever I need right now. God's kind of a safety net. If I can't do it, God can. And so he says, I need you to do this. I can't. I need you to heal my son. I need you to take care of my son. And Jesus says, except you see signs, you won't believe. And it's kind of interesting. Jesus brings it back to what he's there for. Jesus says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. What is important is whether or not you believe, whether or not you know me, whether or not you have a relationship with me. Will you believe? What is it going to take to get you to believe? And so Jesus looks at him, and this man's come and said, come. And Jesus says, but what about the belief? The miracle, except you have miracles. And the man said, I quoted that verse, seeking to save that which is lost. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down. What I need right now, I don't care about this believing stuff. What I need right now, I need my son. He's going to die. We can't have this. We don't have time for this conversation. The most important thing is my son is dying. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. I really want you to get the next phrase. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. He believed what Jesus said. He didn't believe in Jesus. Now you might say, well, Brother Harlan, doesn't that mean he believed? And if he believed his word, didn't he believe in Jesus? You know, there's a lot of people who go to God for all kinds of things and don't have a relationship and will take all kinds of things from God if he'll do it for them and don't want to do anything for God and don't want to have a relationship with him. Think about it. And the man believed what Jesus said and he starts home. And a day and a half later, when he was now gone down and starting to get close, his servant came and told him, saying, your son is alive. Well, he believed that, but you could imagine going, it's like, you know, he's still there, I haven't seen him. You know, I hear of all these miracles, I've seen the miracles, I know what this guy can do, he said he'd be healed. I believe him. Have you ever known somebody that said, I will do something for you next week? And you know that more than likely they won't do it next week? Have you ever known somebody that said, I will do something for you next week, and you know you don't have to worry about it because they'd have to be dead if they didn't do it? You ever know anybody like that? See, I believe this guy trusted Jesus' word because he had seen what Jesus had done, and that whatever Jesus said he'd do, he did. So he put his trust in the words of Jesus. His son would live. Then he inquired of them, the servants, and many servants, more than one, had come to get their master and say, your son is alive. And he says, okay, but what I want to know is when. When? So was this really Jesus? Let's talk about the when did this happen. And they said unto him, yesterday, the seventh hour. And that's 1 o'clock our time. The fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour. The father says, wow. When I had this conversation with Jesus, that was at the same time he was made whole. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which that Jesus had said unto him, thy son liveth. This I want you to get. If you look in your Bible, it says, and he himself believed. Now, it's kind of interesting. There's some language there that this himself, that it's a personal belief. It's not that he believed what someone else said, but it now became personal. And if you have a different translation, it may have this translation. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah. It's a little different than just believing the word of Jesus, believing that Jesus will do what he said he would do. Now he says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Remember what we talked about earlier in this verse? I've written these things that you might believe that Jesus is the what? The Christ. What does this man believe? That Jesus is the Messiah. And that believing he is the Messiah, the Son of God, that ye might have life. You see the difference in just believing that God can do something and then having a relationship with God? Remember, I started this sermon by saying I want to talk about people need the Lord. A lot of people think they need the Lord, that we need the Lord to take care of whatever I need at the moment. Whatever my need is that I can't do, I need God to do. Well, Jesus didn't come to be your fix-it. Jesus came to redeem you. Jesus came to give you life. It's kind of interesting. The father came and he said, my son is dying. And Jesus said, you must believe. In other words, Jesus is saying, yeah, I know your son's dying, but you're dying too. Jesus said, you have all these signs and all this stuff. You need to believe. He addresses the father's belief right there in that he is dying spiritually or dead spiritually. And Jesus says, not only would I like to give your son life, I'd like to give you life. Jesus says, but you just want these miracles. You just want this stuff. And you don't want what God can really give to you. The miracles and the sermons and all the things that Jesus did was a means to the end. And the end is a relationship with God. The most important thing isn't that Jesus was a great guy. Wasn't... The most important thing wasn't even that Jesus was the Son of God, because he was the Son of God from the beginning, not just during his life here on earth. The most important thing for us is that he was willing to die for us and bear our sins so that we can have life. And all these other things point to the fact that he is really who he says he is so that we can have life. And so he himself believed. And the interesting thing about that, in the last part of that verse, and now not only is he excited about his son living, this man, in that his belief, in that his accepting Christ as Messiah, accepting eternal life, he now wants other people to have what he has. And it says that he himself believed. You think he went home and told people about Jesus? You think he told him just about the healing? Or you think he said, you know, he challenged me about my belief. He challenged me about what I believed. And all I was willing to ask for, all I was willing to get from God, I wanted my son healed. When what he was offering me was eternal life. You see the difference? And so often we're interested in God for all the wrong reasons. We only want what God can do for us at the moment and not what God wants to give us, something for eternity. In closing, if the pianist and song leader will come forward, remember what it said there in John 20 verse 31. John says, these are written. And it's kind of interesting that when John, the very last thing he says in John the fourth chapter, he says, and he himself, this man, this nobleman, believed that Jesus is the Messiah. And then he goes on and he says, oh, and by the way, this is the second miracle. Is it the miracle of Jesus healing the nobleman that is important there? Or is John trying to convey the message, what he wants us to understand is that the man believed Jesus was the Christ, and that's the importance of the second miracle. You see the difference? We could go through the miracles and talk about how neat they are and they're incredible. But if it doesn't change your heart, if it doesn't affect how you see God and see your relationship with Christ, first of all, if you don't know Jesus, your personal Savior, you need to believe that he is the Messiah, that he can save you and he can forgive you of your sins, and you need to ask him to do that. But if you're here this morning and a child of God, these things can strengthen us. Remember the turning the water into wine? The only people that knew about it was the disciples, and it said it increased their faith. This morning, in seeing these miracles and what Jesus did, does it increase your faith? If you have a need this morning, won't you come as we stand?